This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Support for On Point and the following message come from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life. That's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully, so you can be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/onpoint.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Asbrook, and this is On Point. Last week, it was Beyoncé's stunning Instagram post presenting her twins. In February, her pregnant Grammy performance. Now, Serena Williams' nude and pregnant cover shoot for the August issue of Vanity Fair. Images of black motherhood are filling our news feed. High-powered, radiant. Of course, there's a more complicated reality and history. This hour On Point, images and ideas of black motherhood in America, reality too. You can join us on air and online with this conversation is always on. What do you see in these striking new images of Beyoncé and Serena Williams? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Beyoncé's pregnancy right out there since pretty early on. February, she performed at the 59th Annual Grammy Awards in L.A., her first public appearance since announcing her pregnancy with twins. Here she was on stage moments before singing.
Are you thankful for the hips that cracked, the deep velvet of your mother and her mother and her mother?
Beyoncé, things go large. Your mother at the Grammys again here.
Your mother is a woman. And women like her cannot be contained.
Speaking of women who cannot be contained, Serena Williams. Here she was on Monday. E! News published a video of an interview with Serena describing the joy she's experiencing from her pregnancy.
I've been really fortunate, and I've had a really, like, good pregnancy, and everything, you know, I've just been really good. So sometimes I'm walking in my house, and I'm like, oh, I really like being pregnant. I never thought I would say that, you know, so I'm definitely the one that enjoys it.
And everybody knows about it right there, fully pregnant, nude, glowing on the cover of Vanity Fair. We want to look at these images. And the interplay between these images and longstanding images of black motherhood. We've got three great guests to do that with us. Joining me now from Lithonia, Georgia, is Deneen Milner. She's author and journalist. In 08, she founded the parenting blog MyBrownBaby.com. Features stories about the intersection of race and parenting. In February, she published a commentary for NPR's Code Switched, headlined, Beyoncé is not the magical Negro mammy. You can link to it at our website, onpointradio.org. She's a mom to three kids, two young girls, and an adult stepson. Deneen, welcome to On Point. Thanks very much for being here.
Thank you. Hi, Tom.
Hi. Great to have you here. Also with us from Tampa, Florida, is Cheryl Rodriguez, director of the Institute on Black Life at the University of South Florida. Her research focuses on black feminism, low-income housing, the intersection of race, gender, and class. She's the mother of four adult daughters. Cheryl, welcome to On Point. Great to have you here.
Hi, Tom. Thank you.
You're very welcome. And with us from Grand Rapids, Michigan, Gloria Malone. She's a writer, activist, consultant, lives in New York. In 2011, she created TeenMomNYC.com to share her story of teen pregnancy and offer resources to other teen moms. She's the mother of an 11-year-old daughter. Gloria, welcome to On Point.
Thank you so much for having me.
There's so much to talk about here, but can we just start with these amazing images? Of course, Beyoncé's had images out there for a long time, and we all know Serena Williams. She's a fixture in our minds. But these images to do with pregnancy and now Beyoncé's motherhood, I guess let's start with Serena. She's on the cover of Vanity Fair. And she is very pregnant, and she is very nearly, you'd have to look really closely to see, but she's very nearly nude here. Deneen, just take this image all on its own. I've read rapturous descriptions of it. You can find everything on the web, of course. Just describe the image for those who may not have seen it on the newsstands. What is the image presented by Serena Williams here?
Oh, it's absolutely fantastic. It is a beautiful African-American woman, strong, chocolate dark skin, flowing or braided hair, you know, rubbing her belly and looking just powerful and gorgeous and amazing and looking very much like how she said she feels, like she's enjoying this pregnancy. And to me, that image of this Black woman, Serena Williams, you know, this international icon, but specifically this Black woman, you know, enjoying her pregnancy is a sight to behold, because rarely do we get to see that kind of image of Black women looking like we actually intentionally got pregnant, loved who we made this baby with, and are looking forward to being mothers. We very rarely see those kinds of images. And so seeing Serena in that kind of arena on the cover of a beautiful international magazine, mainstream magazine, not just Essence or, well, Essence is an international magazine, but it's geared toward Black women. But Vanity Fair is a mainstream magazine that's meant for white, primarily white audiences. And we're seeing this image of this Black woman being happy about being a mother.
Cheryl Rodriguez, this is not the first time we've seen women prominent, beautiful, and very pregnant, nude, and right out there. Demi Moore, all the way back for Vanity Fair's cover, all the way back in 1991. I mean, Cindy Crawford, Britney Spears, Brooke Shields, and others. What does it mean for this to be an African-American woman on the cover of Vanity Fair in exactly this state?
Cheryl. Well, I enthusiastically concur with Deneen's assessment of these beautiful women, Beyoncé and Serena. I think, first of all, their images really communicate power, that these women feel powerful. They feel a sense of self-confidence that we know they have, because we've known them over the years. Their bodies reflect this naturalness of pregnancy and childbirth, and the images are celebratory, which again we seldom associate with Black women's pregnancies. They also reflect this message of Black women having control of their bodies, which we know historically has not been the case with Black women. And of course, they're defying image. They're defying the stereotypes about skin color and the kinds of stereotypes that have emerged about Black women over the years. So I think that these women in particular are addressing stereotypes. And at this political moment, I really feel that they are addressing the invisibility of Black women that it just seems so resounding right now.
I want to come to Beyoncé, but just to stick with Serena Williams for a minute, Gloria Malone, I'm reading here, this is from Yvette Dion, she wrote for Romper.com, talking about this cover, nude, pregnant, strong, glowing. She wrote, in a world where Black mothers are constructed as hypersexual Jezebels, state-dependent welfare queens, and myriad other stereotypes that strip us of our humanity, Serena's pregnancy, rooted in love and happiness, is a welcome and necessary representation. She appears feminine, gentle, and soft, qualities that are rarely seen in our culture's depictions of Black women, let alone Black pregnant women. Is it a breakthrough of some kind, Gloria?
I absolutely think it's a breakthrough, and I also think it's putting Black motherhood and the contents of Black joy front and center, which is so necessary and has been necessary for a long time. I think it's really telling that Serena, both the women, Beyoncé and Serena, have been really careful in the type of images that they want to put forward. And so for Serena to, you know, come out on Vanity Fair in such a beautiful, amazing, joyous, celebratory, and strong cover is just absolutely what we all needed and didn't know that we actually needed.
And then talk about careful. I mean, Beyoncé's Instagram photo, there was one when she was pregnant. She had a kind of bridal veil, and she's kneeling and pregnant there against a big backdrop of flowers. The one that just came out a few days ago, kind of this incredible shot with all these flowers behind. She's in a very particular pose with a robe and kind of a veil, maybe a veil that's pushed back. A little bit of the Madonna here, and also a little bit of the Venus in the famous portrait of Venus rising from the sea. Reading here, this is from Constance Grady. She writes for Vox.com, Beyoncé is essentially deconstructing the Madonna horror complex to her own person. The Virgin Mary traditionally stands for maternity, purity, and chastity, while Venus stands for erotic beauty and sex. In the West, we're obsessed with keeping those two ideas separate. But Beyoncé won't allow it, she writes. She's mother and saint and goddess of beauty and sex all at once, and she's doing it as a woman of color, too. That's the kind of masterful manipulation of imagery that makes Beyoncé one of our most iconic stars. Deneen, I mean, this is a master of imagery when you come to Beyoncé. Serena's a master on the tennis court, but Beyoncé has built a whole persona that is so enormous.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, the idea that you can separate pregnancy and motherhood from sex is really kind of fascinating,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yes.
Like, how do you think those babies got made?
Yeah. Yeah.
So the idea that she would say, I'm in that image, I'm sexy, I'm beautiful, I'm strong, I'm gentle, I'm motherly, I'm Madonna, I'm Venus, I'm all of these, I'm a myriad of things, speaks to womanhood. You're not just motherhood, not just this woman who is an international celebrity, not just black woman, but womanhood, and showing that black women are women. We're not stereotypes. We are not these tropes that you think of us. We are these beautiful beings who are complex and interesting, and that picture just says it all.
We are looking at ideas and images of black motherhood. Some very prominent celebrities out there. You can see these images at our website, onpointradio.org. Of course, these are celebrities, and life is not exactly the celebrity lux life for everybody. We want to come back and look at history, reality, and powerful images right now. Beyoncé with us, Ring Off, released in 2014, open letter to her own mother. Listeners, you can join us. This is On Point. We'll be right back. Until you had enough, then you took that ring off. You took that ring off. So tired of the lies and trying to fight and cry. You took that ring off. Oh, now the fun begins. Dust yourself off when you love again. You found a new man, now you're shining, you're fine. Like it's my time. You took that ring off.
Support for On Point and the following message come from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Chances are you're confident when it comes to your work, your hobbies, and your life. Rocket Mortgage gives you that same level of confidence when it comes to buying a home or refinancing your existing home loan. Rocket Mortgage is simple, allowing you to fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/onpoint. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumerAccess.org, number 3030.
I'm Tom Asbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about images and ideas of black motherhood, with Serena Williams pregnant and nude on the cover of Vanity Fair, Beyoncé resplendent with arms full of twins, and then everyday reality for regular black moms. You can join us this hour. What do you think? Are we pushing toward a new vision here? Is it just a celebrity version? What's your reaction to Serena Williams, lustrous on the cover of Vanity Fair, to Beyoncé's Instagram posts, pregnant and post-pregnant, wreathed and glowing, to Beyoncé performing pregnant at the Grammys? Do these images challenge older images, fight them, refute them? And black moms, in particular, does our society see you as you really are? What images, ideas do you contend with, and what difference do these celebrity images make to you? Gloria Malone is with us. She founded TeenMomNYC.com. She's got her own story right there. Sorry, Gloria, just looking through my notes here. Shel Rodriguez is with us from Tampa, Florida, at the Institute on Black Life at the University of South Florida. Deneen Milner is with us, author and journalist. Parenting blog of hers, MyBrownBaby.com. Lots of talk about all of this. Last month, after the birth of Beyoncé's twins, Trevor Noah celebrated the moment on Comedy Central's The Daily Show with Trevor Noah.
Beyoncé's baby! Beyoncé's baby! Yes! Finally, Beyoncé dropped her latest children. I'm so excited.
You know how powerful Beyonce is? For the first time in history, people actually want to see pictures of kids on Facebook. That's it. Everyone's scrolling like, where are they? Where are they? Get out of here, dumb nephews. I want to see Beyonce's kids.
But it's not all celebrity and celebration out there. It can be difficult. I mean, and we know that. It's pretty mainstream. Here's a commercial released last month from Procter & Gamble. It features black mothers having the talk about bias with their kids.
Who said that?
The lady at the store.
That is not a compliment.
It's an ugly, nasty word, and you are going to hear it. Nothing I can do about that. But you are not going to let that word hurt you.
You got your ID?
Yeah.
Yes, it stopped you.
Yeah.
Now, when you get pulled over...
I'm a good driver.
Okay? Baby.
Don't worry.
This is not about you getting a ticket. This is about you not coming home.
I'm going to be okay. Right? Okay.
You are not pretty for a black girl. You are beautiful, period. Okay? I'll never forget that.
Tough stuff, but there's kind of the gentle Procter & Gamble version with piano music behind and all the rest. It's not always there with a musical accompaniment. I mean, look back in April 2015, Toya Graham made headlines for a viral video that captured her, black mother, slapping her then 16-year-old son for participating in the Baltimore riots that erupted after Freddie Gray, 25-year-old black man, died in police custody from injuries to his neck and spine. Toya Graham.
You want to be safe? Get off! You want to be out here doing this dumb? Get over here!
Those images went viral too, with kind of dynamic all their own. Gloria, Cheryl, Deneen, callers for the three of you. Kevin in Charlotte, North Carolina. Kevin, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Hi. As I listened to your program this morning, I'm wondering why this is such an issue where black women have been having babies for years. White women have been having babies for years. Chinese women have been having babies for years. Why all of a sudden is this a topic of conversation in 2017 that, you know, it's great that it's a celebrity, Beyonce, Venus Williams, but it all of a sudden now we're making it a black or white issue. It's not a black or white issue. It's a God issue.
It's a God issue, you're saying. Reproduction is a God issue.
Reproduction is a God issue. It's not a black or white issue.
And you say this as a white man, as a black man, does it matter?
As a black man, as a 61-year-old black man.
Let me pick it up with the black mothers we have right here. Deneen Milner, respond. Kevin,
I'll take that one.
Yes, please.
As a 49-year-old or almost 49-year-old black woman, I could tell you that the images that we have of black motherhood have always focused on pathology, have always focused on negativity, have always showed us in a light that wasn't necessarily true for the masses. And so the idea that we can have a frank conversation about the ways that black women have been portrayed in the past as pathological, as not loving their children, as, you know, messing around with random men and having babies out of wedlock and doing things that aren't necessarily beautiful for their kids, like Toya Graham slapping her kid upside his head on national television. Mm-hmm. You know, the idea that we could come together and bond over the beauty of Serena and Beyonce, showing that black women do have babies with intention. They do love the men that they're having the babies with. They do love the children that they're raising them with intention. We are doing these things just like everyone else, minus the stereotypes that everyone slaps on us. It's time for that conversation. I've been having that conversation on My Brown Baby for 8 years. And let me tell you something, the website took off immediately because no one had ever talked to or seen stories about black mothers coming from a place of positivity, coming from a place, like Gloria said earlier, of joy, showing us as the full women we are and not just stereotypes. So yes, it's time to keep having this it's time to have the conversation, and we need to keep having this conversation.
Cheryl Rodriguez,
can I add?
Yes, please.
Thank you. I want to add to that. Yes. First of all, you know, I teach a course called Black Women in America, and in that course, we talk about various aspects of Black womanhood, but motherhood is really a foundational topic there. And there are so many people, young people, old people, Black people, people of all different ethnic groups who do not understand our history and who do not understand that when we're talking about Black motherhood, we're talking about institutionalized racism, and we're talking about sexism, and we're talking about the issues that the typical Black mother, regardless of her class, but also regardless of her class, that she has – that Black women have to deal with and endure. And that commercial was really a very benign kind mm-hmm. of version mm-hmm. of –
It's
what
partially
Black
gamble,
people,
after all. I mean,
right.
But
tell
still.
Their what people and you know, and they're trying to sell products. Mm-hmm. But really, it is very, very difficult for Black women to raise children in a society that does not love Black children. When the criticism of Toya Graham is understandable, but one of the things that I understood, and I don't. I certainly don't agree with corporal punishment and beating your children, but I understood that she was very fearful. She was frightened for her son. She was frightened for his safety.
Sure.
And that motivated her to act the way that she did. But I think that these topics are really important. We're not going to dismantle and eradicate racism without talking about the factors that affect Black motherhood and Black parenthood and Black families.
Gloria Malone, you confronted that directly some years ago, I guess 11 or so now, as a teen mother yourself. What was that experience like?
That experience taught me more than ever what it feels like to be living at the intersections of so many identities at once. I became pregnant at 15 and I had my daughter at 15. Mm-hmm. I'm a Black Latina immigrant to this country, mm-hmm. Whose family has lived in financial poverty for all of my upbringing. And when I became pregnant, people automatically assumed that I was not going to finish high school. I had one person my entire pregnancy tell me congratulations, and I thought she was being... I thought she was being rude the entire time, and I kind of snapped at her, and then I looked at her face, and she was being very sincere. And I just cried because I knew that that was the only person that was going to tell me congratulations. And so when a young person gets pregnant in this country, specifically a young Black person who lives in financial poverty, you hear comments from strangers, from people that you think are friends, from well-meaning loved ones who mm-hmm. tell you that your life is over, that you're not going to be able to finish high school, that you're actually pregnant with the thing that's going to destroy your life, and that you are going to destroy that child's life as well. And so a lot of people don't know that teen mothers have the highest rate of postpartum depression. And it's because for at least 9 months, we hear these messages over and over and over again. I also experienced intentions of school pushout. My guidance counselor refused to talk to me about applying for college once she found out I was pregnant. And I'm a student who was in AP and honors classes, mm-hmm. right? I was doing the quote unquote, all the right things. I was involved in extracurricular activities. And yet she just assumed that I wasn't going to graduate. Some teachers didn't want to give me my makeup work. And despite all of this, while dealing with doctor's appointments and doctors who were undermining what I was saying because of my age, I was able to finish high school and graduate on time. I graduated with my class. But that doesn't stop, achieving certain levels of success or goals doesn't
stop. You stuck
doesn't
to it.
Stop.
It's not easy.
Yeah.
But what do these images say to you or to a young woman in those circumstances, Gloria? I mean, Deneen and Cheryl talk about the intentionality that we see. Serena Williams, she's in her 30s. She's had an enormous career already. This is a choice that she's celebrating here. Same with Beyonce. I mean, talk about an intentional person. I don't know what your level of intentionality was at age 15. What do you think these images say to a young woman in the circumstance you were in?
My intentions at 15 were to have the healthiest pregnancy that I could and have the healthiest child that I could while finishing high school. Mm-hmm. And I also wanted to be happy. And so I think that these images, for me now and if I saw them when I was pregnant, just showing joy and, again, just Black motherhood in a way of joy and of happiness, regardless of how I became pregnant, if it was intentional or not. And some young people do choose to get pregnant. It shows joy, it shows happiness, and it shows me that women who look like me can have and experience those things, and that I too should have and experience those things. I recently just did a photo shoot for teen parents because of our age, just because we're having our children at a certain age doesn't mean that we still shouldn't have beautiful family portraits of ourselves when we're pregnant or with our small children.
Callers upon callers. Abigail, and also Charlotte, North Carolina. Abigail, you're on. Thank you for calling.
Hi, great day, Tom. Thank you so much for taking my call. Sure. You're amazing to me. And great day, ladies. I just wanted to state that the images, you all failed to mention Sierra, who just delivered her baby to her husband, Russell Wilson, just a couple of months ago herself. And one of the things, I started teaching sex education as a teen to other teens throughout high schools and universities, throughout high schools in the Midwest where I'm originally from, and I taught in colleges as well. But the biggest point here is that you all are bringing up very fine points. The images have not been widely promoted and celebrated because really the issue in the Black community to me is fatherlessness, and that has been an ongoing theme. And so I think it's phenomenal, but I think that there is a resurgence of, I know we have a lot of Black men who marry outside of the race, but oddly enough, if you look on the images of Instagram and all those kinds of things, you're seeing a resurgence of Black men who are in their homes with their Black wives. When you look at little sites like Wives and Mothers and Black Beautiful Couples and things of that sort, and this is not being widely promoted. So I wouldn't stop at Beyonce and Serena as the only ones. I'm certain that their record sales and Serena's amazing athleticism, makes me, definitely curtsy to her. But certainly I know that there is a wide scale. And I think that the presidency of President Barack Obama and Lady Michelle with two beautiful brown children also whet the appetite of the world to see those images in a greater form. So I want to celebrate all of you ladies and all of your stories and all of your hard work. But I think that, and I know there's much more to come. We've got to get fathers back into the homes, and we've got to tell women the value of their bodies and the beauty of them, that they can wait for a man that loves them, and that it, unless they are seeking some kind of amazing situation of rape or something of that sort, that women have the power to choose what happens to their bodies. And I want to thank you again for this opportunity. You have an amazing day.
Abigail, let me ask you, though, these are very particular women. They're superstars, celebrities. They're, wealthy,
sure,
maybe beyond measure in Beyonce's case. I don't know. Does that speak widely, or is it like, okay, they're up there in some kind of, on some pedestal so up far above many people's ordinary lives that it doesn't really touch?
Well, I think it's very interesting. I think we have a world that is obsessed with celebrity. And I'm an empowerment speaker, and I speak to, like I said, young adults, women, all of those kinds of things. And I know that our culture is obsessed with celebrity, and everybody wants to be an Instagram sensation. Everybody wants to be Kim Kardashian. And so in that regard, anytime you have a celebrity doing anything, whether negative or positive, it's making waves in the minds and the psyches of our young people and even our adults, strangely enough. We're all being impacted whether or not we admit it. So those images can be considered to be valuable in the fact that they're showing a dichotomy and an opposition to maybe the reality that those young people are experiencing every day in communities that are challenged. And it speaks to what is possible for them. I do believe that, Tom.
Abigail, I appreciate your call from Charlotte very much. Thank you for calling. Charlotte Rodriguez, does a young Black mother look at these images and say, I'm inspired, or, oh my gosh, I'll never reach that kind of exalted status?
Well, I think that young Black women, particularly teenagers, probably have a number of responses to these images. I think that they might be inspired, not necessarily by the pregnancy itself, but by the fact that these women are so accomplished. But I do also want to say, particularly in response to Abigail, that it's important for all of us to recognize the legitimacy of the diversity of Black families, whether it's the nuclear family or whether single parents are raising children. It's important for us to recognize and celebrate that diversity. And it's also important to recognize that single mothers need our support.
Cheryl, stand by there if you'd be kind enough. We've got a break right in front of us. Cheryl Rodriguez, Gloria Malone, Deneen Milner, Alicia Keys here with Superwoman. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about images and ideas of Black motherhood, with Serena Williams pregnant and nude on the cover of Vanity Fair, Beyonce resplendent with arms full of twins, and then everyday reality for regular Black moms, three of them with us right now. Gloria Malone with us from Grand Rapids, Michigan. She created Teen Mom NYC, writer, activist, lives in New York. Cheryl Rodriguez, director of the Institute on Black Life at the University of South Florida, joins us today from Tampa. And Deneen Milner, author, journalist, created the parenting blog MyBrownBaby.com, with us today from Lithonia, Georgia. You can join us as well. If you've seen these photos, they're at our website, onpointradio.org. They are incredibly striking. What do you think? Where are social perceptions of Black motherhood up to date these days and spot on? Where are they lagging, off base? Black moms, does our society see you as you really are? What images, ideas do you contend with? And do these images of these superstars, do they challenge older images, fight them, refute them, or not? In a TED Talk earlier this year with journalist Gail King, Serena Williams described how it felt to discover she was pregnant only a couple days after she was scheduled to play at the Australian Open.
I was definitely not sure what, you know, to do. I was like, can I play? You know, I know it's very dangerous maybe sometimes in the first 12 weeks or so.
Yeah.
So I had a lot of questions.
But not only did you play, Ms. Williams, you won.
But there are a lot of mothers out there, and it's not all about winning. It can be complicated. Here's an interview with Mater Mea, an online blog that tells stories about mothers of color, and Jamila Lemieux, the former digital editor for Ebony magazine, talked about the paradox and stigma of Black motherhood.
We are the most important figures in the Black community, but we are also the most maligned. You know, whether a child has two parents, a married parent, a single parent, when something goes wrong, it just seems like the mother is always blamed.
We've got lots of response online. Shay writes to us, listening to this is nothing but the truth. Rarely do we see images of Black women enjoying their journey with motherhood. Carolyn writes, I'm happy to see these beautiful Black women celebrate their birthright, their power, and reclaim that which is sacred and truly a wonder in bearing, birthing, and raising children. May they be a model to others. Another listener writes to us, both images are beautiful, and I love how they're defying stereotypes. I love how they're strengthening and redefining the mother archetype. However, this listener writes, Beyonce is beginning to deify herself, and I think it's not only self-righteous, but sacrilegious, and I'm not even a religious person. Deneen, I don't know. Certainly, Beyonce, she's got the Madonna image going way out there. Botticelli's Venus, maybe as well. I mean, is there any sort of exaltation which becomes too much, or is this just she's earned it? She's living it.
Well, I think also that there are some other things happening there that mm-hmm. people may not be familiar with. Particularly, it seems like, and I can't speak for Beyonce, I don't know her, mm-hmm. I've never seen her write about it, but there might be some celebration of the ancient Nigerian religion, Ife. And so,
How does that emerge religion in this portrayal, Deneen? How would you see it there?
Well, when she was on the award show, she was wearing yellow. That's a reflection of Oshun.
Grammys.
On Grammys. The images of water, the ancestors, and portraying her mother and herself and her daughter as three different generations. That all harks back to specific things that are associated with Ife. And so, Ife is an ancient religion that Christianity and some of the other religions draw from. So if you're not a religious kind of person, you know anything about this Nigerian stuff, you may kind of miss all of the different cues there. And she's celebrating all of these different religions and how women sort of fare in them, and particularly how motherhood is celebrated in them. I wouldn't say she's deifying herself. I would say that she's celebrating how we look at motherhood in religion, in society, in pop culture, and all these different ways. It's a lot deeper than, oh, she looks like the Madonna, so let's get on her for being sacrilegious.
Well,
I also want to...
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I also want to point out that with Serena's image,
mm-hmm.
you know, for so very long, when anyone thought about Serena or talked about Serena, they talked about her so greasy. Like, you know, she's Man-Rena. She looks like a whore. She takes steroids. She's too muscular. Her butt is too big. She's, you know, there's constant criticism of her on the court. And so she flips that sort of image of not just herself, but the way that we talk about Black women and the way that Black women look, particularly as these hard, sort of unloving, uncaring, just, you know, super, you know, unfeminine beings. She flips that on its head, not just for herself, but for us, as this dark-skinned woman on the cover of this mainstream magazine, looking, you know, gentle and cerebral and beautiful and completely the very opposite of everything that she was ever called when she was on covers of magazines. I've worked in magazines for all 30 years of my journalism career, and the transformation from the way that we looked at Serena 30 years ago, or you know 20 years ago, to now is just a complete 180, and I just think that that needs to be recognized.
I mean, she is a powerful woman, and we know it, but you're right. There's
absolutely
a great gentleness in this Annie Leibovitz portrait of her on the cover. It's very mm-hmm. striking. Jean in Atlanta, thank you for joining us. Jean, you're on the air.
I call. I'm happy to hear the discussion today because of the celebration of Black women, and I can only you know sort of compare it to the movie that I saw about Precious that you know kind of had a more of a degrading effect. But this new images I think are going to be a very positive thing for young women in the future. I'm an older woman, but most of my experiences you know go back to even, you know, the roots thing and the slavery mentality feelings that those things evoked. But this is going to really, I think, be a positive thing that I'm happy that both Beyonce and Serena have been able to be out there in order to be recognized because of their, you know, prominence, but also because of their achievements. And that this is going to, you know, thrust, I think, the whole Black women thing into a mood that even Black men can be proud. I think that that's had an effect on the negative images have had an effect on, you know, relationships as they mm-hmm. go. And that, you know, Black men that do end up getting any kind of position, you know, go after the white woman. But now I think this is going to create a whole new surge of energy and should improve those kind of relationships all around the board.
Jean, I'm so glad you called. I mean, we can hear you know of what you speak. Cheryl, speak about the depth of the negativity that Jean references and what Black women have had to contend with.
Well, we've had to contend with historically persistent stereotypes that are persistent over time, and it's really difficult to shake those stereotypes sometimes, and they need to be addressed directly. Stereotypes like the mammy and Jezebel, Sapphire, the hypersexuality of Black women. Black women. So I think that it's important to actually address those stereotypes directly. And it's also important to call out inequalities. There are great disparities between black women in terms of health outcomes, black women and white women, for example, in terms of health outcomes, in terms of access to resources, in terms of education. All of the social issues that people are talking about today really have some serious implications for black women's lived experiences. Motherhood complicates their lives and makes us responsible for raising people who will be the leaders of the future. But we also have to do that in a context of racism, of sexism, and lack of resources sometimes. Mm-hmm. So all of those issues really are important to the typical middle class or poor black woman trying to raise children.
Gloria Malone, you're a young woman, 27. Are those old stereotypes, images, negative images, still potent in your generation?
Absolutely. I think another thing that's really been happening recently within young black women is seeing the rate at which extrajudicial murders of black people are happening in this country, and black women saying that they don't want to have children because they don't want to have to deal with the conversations that have to happen between them and their children. And not only do the historical and the modern images and realities of black motherhood affect young women black mothers in general, they also affect our children. I would be remiss if I didn't mention Sherlina Lyles, who was murdered on Father's Day in Seattle after calling the police, mm-hmm. after experiencing a burglary in her home. She was shot and killed in her home, and her
pregnant
children were
at the
home.
Time. Mm-hmm.
And she was pregnant at the time, exactly. She was a single mother. And I remember I was shocked to the core when I saw that story. And, you know, my daughter and I were talking. And before we went to bed, my daughter asked me who her next of kin was and what she should do if I ever have a police, you know, an interaction with a police officer and she is there. And so it not only affects us as mothers or young black women who are, you know, considering motherhood, it also affects our children.
I want to talk for just a moment about, Deneen, your column that you wrote after the Grammys earlier this year, Beyoncé is Not the Magical Negro Mammy. And it put some nuance on response to these powerful and compelling images and presences of these people. Here's a little sound. This was at the Grammy Awards in Los Angeles in February, and the great singer Adele was there. Of course, Beyoncé was performing very, very strikingly and quite pregnant at the Grammys. And here's what part of what Adele had to say from the stage. She was extremely complimentary to Beyoncé. She said, "You're our light. The way you make me and my friends feel, the way you make my black friends feel is empowering. You make them stand up for themselves. I love you. I always have." And then she also said this.
"My dream and my idol is Queen Bee, and I adore you. You move my soul every single day, and you have done for nearly 17 years. I adore you, and I want you to be my mommy, all right?"
That was Adele speaking of and to Beyoncé at the Grammys in February. She couldn't be more complimentary. You move my soul every single day. But to you, Deneen, this hit a tough nerve. Describe it.
It did. There's history here, right, with black women enslaved, being forced to mother, breastfeed, or put their children aside to breastfeed and mother white children of their slave owners.
So it's her saying, "I want you to be my mummy," right? That's what got you.
It was her, and then followed directly behind her, another celebrity came along and said the same thing. And
Faith
it
Hill.
Made me bristle.
Yeah.
I'm sure that Beyoncé has her hands full right now with her own three children, and she doesn't need anyone else to mother. But it sort of immediately made me look back at the way that black women have been forced to mother everyone but their own children. And so even in jest, it sort of made the hair stand up on the back of my neck because it made me think of the ways that we were forced to leave our own children behind to mother other white women's children, and the history that comes from that of having to put our children behind to uplift someone else's. And so to have two white women stand there and say to this very pregnant black woman, "I want you to be my mommy," made me think of Mammy and how she was forced to, or we as a collective were forced to, leave our own children behind for the benefit of someone else.
It's a deep and complicated and challenging history. One more call. Arnold in Oklahoma City. Arnold, thank you very much for calling. You're on.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I'm a first-time caller, long-time listener. I'm a 25-year-old African-American male. And I was calling just to say that this, you know, to me is a non-issue. People have been giving birth for a long time. It's not a black or a white thing. Okay, I feel like we should be focusing more on actual problems, things like 71% of African-American children being born out of wedlock. You know, these are things that create perpetual poverty in our society. That's all I just wanted to say. And it's like, I'm not going to, you know, as a man, I understand. I'm not going to diminish, you know, the irony is not lost on me, it being a woman, you know. I mean, it being a woman, it being a motherhood type of thing. But we should focus more on things that actually matter.
Arnold, let us pick it up right there because our time is short. Dina, I'm going to bring it to you. Arnold, so listening, and you hear his response.
Yeah. So we should focus on stereotypes of black men instead of stereotypes of black women. I think that black men, black fathers, just throwing that out there with 71% of black children are being raised in single parent households. If you look at the numbers, if you look at the statistics, if you look at the studies, they show that black men, out of all of men, ethnicities and races in America, are most involved with their children. And so that's yet another stereotype that absolutely we should have a conversation about. But right now we're talking about black women and how those stereotypes affect us in our everyday lives. And it's
Thank
absolutely
you.
Worth the conversation.
There's an amen from Cheryl Rodriguez as we run out of time here. I guess this is a day we're looking at images that are celebratory. We take your point from Oklahoma City. At the same time, you hear how these images buttress and support in many ways, and the history behind them is a tough one. Cheryl Rodriguez at the University of South Florida, the Institute on Black Life there, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Gloria Malone, she created TeenMomNYC.com, writer, activist, consultant out of New York. Thanks for being with us from Michigan today, Gloria.
Thank you so much for having me.
And Deneen Milner, MyBrownBaby.com was hers. Deneen, you're just terrific. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
And congratulations to all the Temptations, oh mother of mine. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Yeah.